This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, Tig.
Cheryl.
This episode is, whoa.
It's a roller coaster because...
There's
some heavy stuff, and then also we have
ridiculous people.
We have some ridiculous moments with our little, you know, going off topic, which has nothing to do with the roller coaster of this movie.
No.
But... you know, as I mentioned to you, there were things that I related to and was inspired by and touched by. And
yes, and that being said, we also talk about, you know, when I thought I was being pranked.
Yeah, had nothing to do with the documentary.
No, it has nothing to do with the documentary. Okay, ladies and jerks, welcome to The Alpinist.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Hey, Tig, hey.
Hey, Cheryl, hey.
You sound a little down. Are you down?
I'm not down. I'm a little overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah. You know, I just got back from vacation, and then I have to leave tomorrow morning for Dublin to do some work there.
Are you going to come back with an accent?
I'm going to show up with an accent.
Please tell me. Let me know what say what you're going to say when you get off the plane. Ha ta ta ha ta ta ha ta ta ha ta ta. You don't even say words.
Nope.
It's just gibberish. Yeah. It's just Irish gibberish.
You know what you might be happy to know? When I was on my vacation, do you know who we visited for 2 days?
No. Who?
We went to Manhattan, we went to the Hamptons, we went to Portland, Maine, and then we went to the deep, deep cornfields of Ohio to go stay with Meemaw.
Oh, Meemaw. Scram Clown?
Scram Clown. We went and stayed with Scram Clown.
By the way, I was just listening to the best of that we just put out, and you telling Meemaw to Scram Clown, I was like... I was trying to go to sleep. It was a problem because I was trying to go to sleep and I was laughing so hard and my tears were coming. And I'm like, okay, pull yourself together because I was shooting a film. So I thought, I'm going to make myself.
Ragnoshes work! You were tapped. You were tapped.
I was tapped.
Okay.
But I couldn't go to sleep, especially after Meemaw, Scram Clown. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, Meemaw, Meemaw.
Yeah.
But she didn't care.
She didn't care at all.
No.
Do you know how much Meemaw doesn't care? Her daughter made a video. They're all a very funny family.
Yeah.
They all play music. They all do characters, no matter what their age is. And they made a video. Her daughter, who is like 50-something, made a video
where the big punchline in the end is that Meemaw's face goes into a pie, but like not where a pie slams into Meemaw's face. Like Meemaw either dies or falls asleep and her face goes into a pie. But but Meemaw, and she's 81. Yeah. She not only is not above putting her face into a pie, leaves it there. For the sake
of... Is she waiting for them to talk?
It's part of the comedic part of the thing. That's so funny. And that's what I was showing Stephanie. I go, look how funny this woman is. That she, for the sake of comedy, for the joke, she leaves her 81-year-old face in the pie.
She committed to it.
She committed. Yeah.
Well, you know, at my house over Christmas, we have a talent show, a family talent show. And this is sparking me to think of, and she cannot wait for me to tell everybody this, my sister, Dr. Becky Hines, and my niece Kaylee, for their talent.
Your niece Kaylee Cuoco?
My niece Kaylee Cuoco. Uh-huh. They put on shower caps.
Okay.
And
in Florida.
Put their hands, yeah, this was in Florida, in the living room, because this is during the talent show. Christmas. This was their talent. It was Christmas. And they had a pie eating contest with the two of them, you know, without using your hands. Uh-huh. And we have video of it. So anyway, it just reminded me that I guess there is something to, you know, a pie in your face that's hilarious and also a waste of a pie, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean...
I mean, people could eat it.
Or lick it off your face.
Yeah, it just seems like, whoa, a whole pie?
I don't know.
But listen, they did.
My you know what we should do for our next streaming show? No, please. Yes. No, Thomas, will you make a note?
No, please.
Yes.
I did not want to do
Cheryl. Yes. And then, we go outside and spray each other off. Hose in the faces. Clean each other off.
Where are we doing this?
At my office. And then Patrick will come out of his little hovel.
And he'll towel us off.
Wrestle us.
Oh. He's going to wrestle us.
Then we have to wrestle a grown man, yeah.
This is like getting, what's the word?
Disgusting.
Oh, no. I was like thinking sexy.
This turns you on? Wrestling, haircuts, becoming blood brothers. Cheryl is a psychic in a tent and we invite five people over. I don't even know what I just read.
Well, that Thomas just gave us an update of what he's keeping track of for our next live show.
Oh. That's the list of ideas. Okay, can you bring that back up again so I can read it and now understand? Dancing, sex show, wrestling, haircuts, becoming... Blood brothers, Cheryl is a psychic in a tent, and we invite five people over. Okay. I'm glad you're taking notes, but I feel like they're not organized very well.
We need some commas. Yeah. Because I'm like, is it a dancing sex
show? Pie-eating contest. Where does that... Will you add that into the description? We have so many good live shows coming up. You won't do a pie-in-the-face contest? Or not pie-in-the-face contest... Where we do a Meemaw face plant. Meemaw face plant in a pie.
I mean, I will if it's necessary, but
of
it's like...
Of course.
Okay.
Vote online now if you want a Meemaw pie in the face plant.
Or some of the other ones. I forgot what the sex show was. Were we just talking about Madonna's book? No. Were we going to show live... Were we going to show pictures of Madonna naked in her sex book?
Do we have to ask
her? Are we allowed to do that? I know.
I'm hey, sure Madonna, hey.
Hey, by the way, do you think Madonna would be the type of person that's like, no, I don't want you to show my naked body to people?
Well, I asked to use one of her songs in my
brag announcements alert.
This is not a brag. This is a backfire. I asked to use one of her songs in my show, One Mississippi.
Yeah.
She said no.
Oh.
That she's very particular about what she uses her music for. Stephanie immediately went online and Googled what she uses her music for, and it's on everything and in everything.
That is crazy. That's a little weird.
I think she's not a fan of mine.
Oh. Have we talked about this before?
No.
Or that's just a feeling. You know, feelings aren't facts.
I'm pretty sure this feeling is fact. I'm pretty sure. I get a pretty good feeling this might be a fact.
Okay. You know what? We have not even introduced what documentary.
We have to go to break now.
No, that's not true.
I just want to hear you freak out.
Okay, today, let's just dive right into it.
All right.
Today, we are talking about the alpinist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's part of me that wants to say the alpinist. Doesn't matter. Alpinist. The Alpinist is a 2021 documentary film directed by Peter Mortimer and Dick Rote. Sorry, please don't leave that in.
What did you say?
Well, I called him Dick Rosen and his name is Nick Rosen. I got ahead of myself. I don't know what.
You were probably thinking of the sexy wrestling match with Patrick.
I was thinking of.
After we do a face plant to a cream pie.
This is our,
sexual fantasy come true.
We've got to talk about this documentary. Oh my, this is a terrible start.
Oh yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, we need to pull it together because this is, it's an inspiring, it's a mixed bag of inspiring.
It's a mixed bag. Okay. I'll tell you what it is and then we'll really.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a documentary film directed by Peter Mortimer and Nick Rosen. And it follows 23-year-old solo climber Marc-André Leclerc.
I don't recall pronouncing it like that.
I don't think you pronounce the C at the end, but I want to give it attention.
If this is your first time listening to the show, this is a comedy podcast. When I say we, Cheryl specifically mispronounces everybody's name. She gets every word wrong.
That's actually not true. Okay, his name is, how do you say it?
I don't. I've never said his name. I watched it.
I'm going to say it's Leclerc. Okay. It's Leclerc.
Okay.
But there is a C at the end. He's a free-spirited Canadian who breaks solo climbing records and pushes the dangerous sport to its limits. The Alpinist received a theatrical release and is now available to watch on Netflix. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of mixed feelings about this.
Okay, well, tell me your feelings.
Well, first of all, why?
Why free solo?
What is it with these guys? Yes! Why do they feel the need to climb an icy mountain? Or a frozen waterfall. If you see a frozen waterfall, is your first instinct, whoa, I got to climb up that thing.
Okay, but I hear you. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it. Why?
Why
are we living in a city that can be destroyed within a second with an earthquake?
Right, because we like it. Not we don't like
so
the earthquake,
he.
But we
he likes yes, doing what
I
he
get
does.
It, I get it. I get. I mean, I see what
I mean.
Saying.
You know, with my family in Texas and Louisiana and Mississippi, people are like, "Why do these people live down there? A hurricane
right.
could come." And I'm like, they at least have a day or two to prepare and get out. We have no chance Mm-mm. to prepare to leave Mm-mm. this town, and in one shake. Dead.
You seem real angry about it. Has this been on your mind?
I told you I've been
thinking of moving.
I mean, I would go anywhere, anytime. Stephanie has no intention of leaving this town, so yeah. I am stuck.
Oh. you have a lot of emotions today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're stuck. Listen, a lot of people feel stuck.
I don't mean stuck in my marriage. Is that how you interpreted it?
when you say you feel stuck, it's not it doesn't sound positive. It sounds
I mean I am stuck in Los Angeles.
Okay.
But, you know.
Oh, but what?
I don't know. I mean.
You're going to make the most of
maybe
it.
Maybe we could buy a condo in Tallahassee or something.
Would be nice.
Not me and you, but like. Maybe I could get a condo in Tallahassee and go spend the weekends there. Get away.
I love that Tallahassee is your getaway.
Yeah. That's how dreadful I find Los Angeles sometimes.
There's not even a direct flight from here to Tallahassee. You're going to have to connect. But it's going to be worth it for the weekend in a condo in Tallahassee.
Yellow.
Okay, listen. Mm-hmm. Here we go. So the Alpen.
We have to take
a break. Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
This is
how it goes. Ridiculous. This happens every week, Cheryl. We'll be right back.
Okay.
To talk about the alpinist.
Alpinist.
Or the alpinist. As Cheryl wants to.
Wants to say.
Okay, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we are back on Tig and Cheryl True Story. This is a comedy podcast, and we talk about different documentaries. Some are lighthearted, some are not. Yeah. Some are inspiring, some are not.
Yeah, it is difficult because we do talk about... it's serious. Mm-hmm. You know, there are very serious subject matters, and and we are not by any means making fun
of
the documentary or the people in the documentary.
No. I enjoyed the documentary.
Well, boy.
Yeah, you struggled.
Well, it was a lot of rock climbing.
Well, what else are you going to show on the Alpinist? I'm blown away.
Yeah, boy. I just feel like if I have to watch this guy with the little hook into the side of the mountain and then feel his foot around with his, what are those called?
Feet.
Clampers? Clampons? With his feet.
Clampons?
Aren't they called clampons?
I don't know. I'm not an alpinist. Look at me.
But you watch the movie.
Right, wait, but I don't.
Thomas, are they called
clampons?
I'm not
taking notes.
Crampons.
Tampons. Oh,
They're crampons. What was I saying?
Clampons.
They're called crampons. You're going to have to talk. I'm having a problem today. I can't pull it together.
I'm surprised you even got close to crampons.
I felt really good about myself.
You came in with
the clampon. I was like...
It sounds okay. Uncomfortably close to tampon.
It is in the same world.
It's nothing even close to when you thought NSA was similar to NASA, was frighteningly similar to NASA. Remember?
Okay. Listen, we don't have to go
we
down
don't have
the
to do
of-
this show. But this is our own decision. We don't have to do anything. We made a decision as friends in the world. Let's do a podcast. Nobody's making us. I mean,
no, nobody asked us to.
Nobody asked us to do this. Plenty have asked us to stop.
Barking dog.
Sparking. Laughing dog.
Oh, laughing dog. Okay, I'm going to pull it together. Listen. Okay, so yeah, there were lots of shots. I mean, it was it hauntingly similar to Free Solo to you?
Yeah. And the guy from Free Solo was on.
Was in there.
Yeah.
Alex Honnold.
And did you find this interesting? Mm-hmm. Watching Free Solo, Alex seemed like loony bin cuckoo bird.
Uh-huh.
You know, where you're like, this guy is out of this world.
Yeah.
And then when we're doing this documentary, we're watching The Alpinist, and then we're watching Mark, who is, he is cuckoo
he's
bird.
Out of this
he's out of this world. And then What's his name? Comes on.
Oh, the hula hoop guy?
No, no. Oh. Then the guy from Free Solo comes on to be interviewed.
Oh, right. Alex.
Alex comes on and is interviewed. Is like, who's this normal guy?
Who is this normal, like, beautiful? You know, I mean, it was like, oh, it's like George Clooney just came on the screen.
Okay, but like all of a sudden, Mark makes Alex look like an investment banker is being interviewed for The Alpinist.
It's funny because when I was watching it, because Alex talks about Marc Andre. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you say the whole?
Yeah, his mother
Marc
did.
Andre? His mom does, yeah. But I don't think other people.
I know, but anyway. I feel like mothers appreciate you calling their children
Marc Andre. Yeah. Really, he really looked up to Marc Andre. Couldn't believe the stuff that
Who
he was
did?
Doing. Alex. Honnold.
Right, but that's where I don't understand. Did Marc come after Alex?
I feel like yeah. Yes.
I know.
There's no way to know. There's no way to know this. I think so.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah, because that makes sense. Like, yeah, because Thomas and I went to see Free Solo years ago in Toronto, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So this new kid on the block, mm-hmm. Marc Andre, is now like, I mean, isn't it called Free Soloing? What's the difference in free soloing and being an alpinist?
Well,
alpining.
They'll use ropes, right? I mean, when you free solo,
you don't even use ropes.
You're poking around with your cramplings.
With your clampons.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Please. So Alex explains how Mark flies under the radar, mm-hmm. but does all types of crazy alpine soloing. Mm-hmm. So nobody
really... Alpine.
Well, that's the question. Is it? No.
No.
Is it?
No. No. That isn't
it would
the
be
question
alpine.
At all. Nobody's asking that question.
My stomach hurts already, and we're not even...
No.
Okay. Mark supposedly climbed some of the hardest walls in the world by himself. Mm-hmm. Most of it is not even on video because he simply does it for the love of climbing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also, are you just taking somebody's word for it?
What do you mean?
Well, couldn't I tell you that I can hold my breath underwater for 8 minutes, but I don't like to do it in front of people.
Okay, but how does he get to the top of the mountain?
Oh, he takes pictures.
Yeah.
Did he take a picture? How do we know he went to the top? Yeah, I guess there were pictures at the top. Never mind. Okay.
Next stupid question.
So this documentarian, Peter, spent 2 years with Mark. And when Peter was a kid, he idolized this legendary free soloist, Derek Hersey, who was known for climbing crazy cliffs with only his chalk bag. I don't know why that makes me laugh. It's like, it's a real, yes, he only had a chalk bag. But what is a chalk bag?
It's the bag with chalk in it. you put on your fingers to for? Like, you know.
Get sticky?
No. Doesn't. To like get a grip on your, so you don't have like slippery, oily fingers, you know. You want to have.
Oh, to keep them dry.
Yeah. You want to be able
to. Oh, like gymnasts.
Yeah, or playing pool, you know.
Mm.
You chalk the...
I chalk bag it. So anyway, in the documentary, there's like just it's sort of an, I found it slightly odd, scene with this guy, Heavy Duty. What's his name? And they did a lot of hula hooping.
Heavy Duty Jr. He's the son of Heavy Duty.
I mean, the thing that they made quite clear in this film mm-hmm. is that it's a very dangerous sport.
Yeah.
And, I mean, at some point somebody said that 50% of, around 50% of the people end up dying while they're climbing. It's sort of breathtaking because then you feel like, why are you doing it?
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like they're, because Stephanie was asking me that last night when I was talking to her about the film. If I thought it was a death wish.
Well, it seems like you're not wishing for it, but if it happens, that's okay because I'm going to do what I'm doing, what I love doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, yeah, there's something about them that they keep going up,
But again, I go back. I do agree with what you're saying. But again, why are we living in a town that...
Oh, no. The earthquake thing again?
It's true. We're sitting on a landmine.
I don't... The odds are not, you know, 50-50.
But the chance is there.
Well, I think every state has something, right? It's a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake or a meteor.
Yeah.
Right.
There's certain states that get meteors more than other states.
I'm just saying it could be anything. So in this documentary, we see a lot of, yes, climbing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is incredible. I mean,
it's mind-blowing.
And he, Marc-Andre, does snow and ice.
Yeah.
Which I don't think...
Alex
did.
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
He just did tiny, tiny ledges of dry mountain.
Probably had a chalk sack.
I don't know why it's silly. I got to quit laughing at it because it doesn't make sense. Okay. Peter, the documentarian,
mm-hmm.
travels to Squamish, mm-hmm. British Columbia, to meet Mark. And he finds him living in a low-key life, which is putting it mildly.
It's a low-key way of putting it.
I mean, he was like just living in a... Where was he living? Like on a stairwell?
Yeah. I think he was running it for like $150 a month, which honestly, I feel like somebody was overcharging him.
Because how comfortable is a stairwell?
Also, just if someone's willing to sleep in your stairwell, just let them sleep in the stairwell.
But it sounds like Mark had like, you know, decorations and a mattress?
Mm-hmm. An inflatable Something. Mattress.
He was like making the most of it and having a ball.
For sure. He didn't seem to have a complaint in the world. But I feel like if I needed a place to stay and I asked somebody, hey, can I rent your stairwell for $150? And they said yes. I would be like, wait, I was kidding.
I have to sleep in this stairwell for, what do you give for $150?
Why won't you let me in? Would be my next question.
It is a fair question. It's like, well, that's the best you could do is a stairwell? Okay. But everybody seemed happy with the...
Everyone was thrilled. Happy. I don't know why I'm barging in with any sort of problems. Nobody had a problem.
Nobody, even his girlfriend. Mark had a girlfriend, yeah. Brett. Oh, no.
We have to take a break.
Shoot, Tootie.
What'd you say?
I said shoot, Tootie.
Shoot, Tootie. Well, when we picked up Max and Finn from school today, Max learned the word freaking in place of the F word.
Uh-huh.
And he...
Went to town.
Oh, my gosh. When we picked him up, he was like, first thing I'm doing is taking my shirt off. Second thing, I'm freaking starving. And then he turned to Finn. He was saying that to me in 70, and then he turned to Finn. He goes, Finn... When we get in the car, I'm taking my shirt off. Second, I'm freaking starving.
He repeated it again.
Yes.
Just to make sure.
Yeah. It's like he's six today. This is his first day of being six. And he's now.
He owned it.
Now he's saying, I'm freaking starving. Anyway, let's take a break. And we will be back on this. Show.
Alpinist. The Alpinist. We'll be back with The Alpinist.
On Tig and Cheryl True Story, a comedy podcast about documentary films.
Oh.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back.
And we're back. Okay. So you think when you're watching this, you're like, oh, Marc-Andre is like really, he's a one in a million. Mm-hmm. And can't imagine him finding a mate.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, a girl named Brett comes along. And the two of them are just happy as clams together.
They did seem
so happy.
So happy.
They were cute. She loved to climb.
And she's good at climbing. And she did not seem like, you know, a totally free-spirited cuckoo bird in the way that he seemed.
I know. Yeah. I know. It was interesting.
But I think you need that.
A little balance.
That balance.
Yeah.
And I can't decide if, am I the cuckoo bird or is Stephanie the cuckoo bird?
Oh, I think it's you. Are you really asking? No.
Wait, it's for sure me? Stephanie's not a cuckoo bird?
No, it's for sure you. You wouldn't have a pie-eating contest and then get hosed down. And they get hosed down and wrestle. Does Stephanie say these sorts of things? Does she do these sorts of things?
Fine. I'm the cuckoo bird. I'm the cuckoo
bird. Okay, so...
Stephanie's not exactly who you think she is. But anyway, no,
she's got some threads of
she says
cuckoo birdness. Yes. Okay. So at some point Mark talks about growing up in Chilliwack, British Columbia. And this like got me for no reason at all that he said he was talking about Chilliwack. And he said you become completely desensitized to the smell of cow manure.
Uh-huh.
Is that a weird way to describe your hometown? Like, that's the one thing that he said about Chilliwack.
Well, there probably isn't a lot going on then.
But why is that? Why is the smell of cow manure? He didn't explain it. Do they just raise a lot of cows and...
They must, Cheryl. If he's saying that you become desensitized to the smell
of cow manure,
then
Chilliwack must be known for...
Yeah.
Their cattle raising. Okay, so that was interesting. And then his mom is in the documentary, and she's pretty fantastic. And she talked about how Mark had ADHD. He didn't like to sit down. He couldn't sit down in school. He couldn't stay still. So she homeschooled him, and you know, taught him like by taking him places and showing him stuff. And
he definitely seems homeschooled. And that's a compliment.
That is a compliment.
I feel like more times than not, people that are homeschooled are
think outside
interesting
in the box.
Cuckoo birds.
Yeah, they think outside. Yeah. Like Billie Eilish.
Exactly.
Remember when we talked
Billie
to
Eilish.
Maggie Baird, her mom?
Yeah, she's a cuckoo bird.
That's
a cuckoo bird nest.
That is a cuckoo bird nest that they
feathered. In Billie Eilish's family, Maggie included, would say, we are not cuckoo birds.
No, they wear that badge.
Come on into our cuckoo bird nest.
That's true. That's
true.
Hey, Maggie, hey. Okay, so they're doing this film. They're following Mark. Mm-hmm. Oh, he wants to climb the emperor face.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Vaguely.
There's a lot of talk about the emperor face,
uh-huh.
which I guess is the name of one of the mountains.
Yeah.
And then he did, right?
This is the end of the show.
It was I was hoping that you would chime in. I just want to make sure.
I like creating awkward moments.
It's the highest mountain in the Canadian Rockies.
Okay.
So Peter is now frustrated because he heard that Mark had climbed this mountain, but didn't tell the filmmaker, and that the whole reason he's in Canada
is to film him.
Yeah. The whole reason he's there is to film him. And Mark is just a little cheeky.
He disappears.
Disappears. No, doesn't
he's
tell anybody.
He's not doing it for anyone's...
Nobody's entertainment or satisfaction. And so he climbs it, and they were like, angry. But we get it. He's a free spirit.
He's a free solo spirit.
He's a free
solo
spirit.
But also, he had to kind of know that's going to stir some interest.
Of course. Of course.
I mean, I believe it's both. I believe it's both. I believe he wanted to do a totally free solo because I can understand the purity of the art form. But then it's also like, I also know that this is going to like...
Or then why are you taking pictures at the top if you don't want to?
If somebody could translate that and get back to us, thank you.
So now people are starting to talk and saying, well, Mark is really, he's getting out of control and it's getting too dangerous. Uh-huh. The things that he's doing are too dangerous.
Yeah.
And people are getting very worried. And no one can really, you know, talk him out of this. Mm. And Mark travels to Patagonia for a climb that's never been attempted as a winter solo ascent.
Mm-hmm.
This was of Torre Eger. I think that's how you say it, actually.
Yeah, might be.
Torre Eger. The most difficult peak in the range. And Mark gets there, waits for a good window of weather. He goes up, and he doesn't get too far.
Mm.
He makes a video for Brett and says, this is too dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It's too dangerous.
Imagine how dangerous it must have been.
If he's saying it's too dangerous.
I mean, if Cuckoo Bird is like...
It's like, this is too
much.
Hold
up.
This is bad.
Yeah.
And he makes his video, tells his girlfriend he loves her, and he's going to have to rappel down without reaching the summit. And he does. And then what does he do, Tig?
Mm-hmm.
He decides, you know what? I'm going to try again. But he was so happy that he made it down alive.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a new man.
Yeah.
He felt so happy that he made it down alive. And that being said, he decided to go up again. So he goes back up Torre Eger. Mm-hmm. And this is where the filmmaker's ending the film, comes back. He's so happy. Mark feels like he's, you know, it was so dangerous, so happy that he did it, feels very energized. He and Brett are having a great time together.
Yeah.
And then he decides to go to Juneau, Alaska with an experienced climber, Ryan Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So they just, it seemed like in the film, that was just sort of a spur of the moment.
Just a casual climb, huh?
Well, trip to Alaska to climb this. And
but it wasn't like he was climbing
the biggest.
The big. It was.
It was under the radar and didn't seem like. Okay, now I'm going to tell people what happened. And so this is difficult to talk about, and it's sad. So just know that. But so they went up, and Brett was on a boat. She was sailing. She realized that Mark and Ryan didn't check in. Like they were supposed to check in.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they realize there's a problem. Nobody can reach Mark and Ryan. The search and rescue crew went to Alaska and they met with Brett and they were going to search for them, but there was a huge storm. Mm-hmm. So nobody could even fly in a helicopter. Mm-hmm. This is how dangerous everything was.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to wait for the weather to break. And after 4 days of searching, they found a rope that was covered by an avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
And it was clear that it was Mark and Ryan's mm-hmm. rope. So it was clear that they
perished
on the mountain.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So that was really tough and sad. And it goes back to... You know, he felt so grateful that he made it out alive of the other one, but then that...
Well, it is that thing of gambling, which you're a gambler. So this is where you could maybe relate because you think, okay, I made all this money. I'm going to take my money and I'm going to,
bet it all again, because if I won that time, I'm going to
clock out or
check
out or whatever the bank out.
Right. Right.
And you're going to go home. But you don't.
Because it's your passion. Yeah.
And you think, well, I've gotten through. I've lived through that. I'm good at this. I can keep doing this.
Right. Right.
So.
But it's so dangerous because you don't know what the weather is going to be. And how do you. It's so. I know you know. I'm just letting you know.
I know
there's
you
no
know.
Way to, there's no.
There's no way to know.
There's no way to know. It's too dangerous. But and they know that going in. Mm-hmm. That's the thing too. So you know it going in.
Yeah, it's right? Not a surprise to any of them.
No.
But it also reminds me of when I do stand up, public speaking is one of people's biggest fears in the world. And they're always like, how do you do this? You have the hardest job. And I'm like, I related when he was talking about, and obviously I know it's very different.
A little, slightly different.
But I did relate. And his response was like, it's not, it's just what I do. And that little moment I kind of relate to when people look at me as though I am a free solo climber. Because they can't, when they're so terrified of speaking in public.
That they can't imagine that you choose to.
Oh my, they're baffled. And I'm like, it's nothing. It's like, I'm not even scared. I'm not, if I walked in front of 100,000 people at a football stadium, it's nothing. It's fine.
It doesn't register.
No.
Yeah, so I mean, people that do these extreme sports, it's just, they have that thing that's like, this is just what I was born to do.
Yeah.
I have to do it.
Do you have anything like that? I mean, I guess do people feel that way about acting where they're like, how do you do that?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's less like getting, because when you're doing stand-up, you're in front of so many people. But acting, it's not quite the same because unless you're doing a play.
See, I find acting way more terrifying than if somebody said, here, do this movie with, Meryl Glenn Streep Close. Or somebody, Glenn Close, or whoever these people are that are apparently good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, here, do this, Tig. I would be like, oh, my lord. Okay.
I gotta really concentrate on this.
I have really been tapped this time. Or if they said, walk on stage in front of 100,000 people, I would say, I'm going to walk on stage in front of 100,000 people.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
Taping live to television, streaming live on whatever it is, whatever. No problem.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm going to do a good job, but.
Listen, when I was a presenter at the People's Choice
Awards. You know, she's alert.
I mean, there is something like, millions of people are watching. The thing is moving and you have to,
What do you mean
read
the thing is moving?
Oh, like the set is moving when you're walking on. And, there's a lot involved.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an audience and you're going live.
Mm-hmm.
But I did it anyway.
How do you do it?
That's the point of this. I managed to do it anyway. I have got to stop talking. Okay, listen. I'm circling back and winding it down. So, Brett, the girlfriend, talks about Mark, and she's very sad. But at the same time, she felt like they had a beautiful time together, and she loved him, and she knows that he would want her to have to not. Not to lose her spirit.
I know all of that, but it's like,
I know.
Easier said than done.
I know, but she also did say, I didn't know life could be so painful.
Yes, yeah.
I thought that was very profound, because she said, until you're in this, position, you just can't imagine life being that painful.
Yeah.
You're just like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, I really, really felt for her.
I know.
I mean, even, obviously, very different, but I'm still struggling with losing, Cowboy Rick. I'm really struggling with it. So looking at somebody that, if I lost Stephanie, you can say those things.
I know.
But man, I felt for her where I'm like, how do people keep going? When people lose a child, I think of this guy's mother.
No, please, I can't know.
And did he have siblings? That is the other thing.
I feel like he did have a brother.
Okay.
Once again, feelings aren't facts, and how could we know?
And not that that takes away the loss of one, but I just kept thinking, like, gosh, does she have another child? Please say she has another child.
Tig, you can't. All these things are making my heart hurt.
I'm sorry. I know. Well, mine hurt watching it.
I know.
I don't know. This world is painful.
This world can be very painful. It is.
It is.
Well, you have to balance. You have to somehow balance because there are...
And how do you balance it?
Well, you know what? When you're having the painful moments and feelings, you acknowledge them. And
how do you acknowledge them?
You cry, you scream, you write, you journal, you do whatever it is you need to do. You go to the beach with a bottle of wine and watch the waves come in. Whatever
is
for
legal?
You. If you're of a certain age.
You can just take a bottle of wine down to the beach and drink it.
That is what my beauty school teacher told me.
Oh, okay.
Once. And it stuck with me. And I was like, that actually sounds like a great idea. I haven't done it yet.
Your beauty school teacher in Tallahassee tells you to tote a bottle of wine
to the beach.
To a public beach and drink there and cry?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I'm just saying whatever works, but it's like you have to acknowledge it. You have to feel it.
Yeah.
And then turn around and look at the people in your life that you love and have those moments with them, those good moments, because it's about balance, but it's incredibly difficult.
Well, I am, if for some reason his mother or girlfriend found this podcast and if they're listening, I feel for them and am thinking of them.
Yes.
Because it just seems brutal.
Yes. We are sending our love to the family because that's...
And the other guy that died, his friend died.
Right, yes.
His friend died,
Ryan Johnson, right. And at the end of the film, I mean, Peter says that he believes that what Mark did during his time on Earth was beautiful and was really something extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
So that is The Alpinist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
I did feel, as sad as it was, I did feel inspired.
You did?
I did. Mm. I did.
To like do what you want to do.
Yeah,
life
you can apply
life
it. Yeah, you can apply it to your own life and your needs and dreams and
Yeah,
I definitely felt inspired.
All right. Well, Tig, are you ready for some final thoughts?
Yeah.
It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I did not, but I felt deeply.
Yeah, same. No, it was difficult, but it was beautifully done. The film is beautifully done. And was there anyone that you felt attracted to? I get Alex
Honolulu.
Please cut that. I get Alex Honnold from Free
please
Solo.
Please don't cut that.
Please. He was so cute in this. Which is funny. I would love to go back and listen to Free Solo. Like, did we think he was cute in Free Solo? I don't think so.
You didn't?
Did we?
I thought he was.
I mean, he was cute, but like, do you want to make out with him in an elevator?
I like Goofy Mark.
Oh, yeah. He was cute.
Yeah.
He had a really...
He
had a real spark.
Yeah, I feel like he would be so fun... To lie in that entryway.
Tent? Oh, in the entryway.
Yeah, like
I like that. That sounded so good to you.
Well,
like,
I just.
But it does. But there was something about it that was so carefree.
Yeah, that's
and like life is simple.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't need to be. You don't need to be sitting on a freeway, going to work. You can just lie on the entryway and
pay $150. But
Yeah.
It's fun to point at some and be like, yeah, I'm with that cuckoo bird. That's my cuckoo bird over there. You know, I like interesting weirdos.
Yeah.
You know.
I get it.
Oh, I get it.
All right, when somebody excels
at something.
At something in that way.
It's very
attractive.
Mm-hmm. Very attractive.
Mm-hmm. But that being said, did you feel that way about any of the chicken people? Because they were very good at what they did. They were very good at prepping their chickens.
I don't remember what any of them looked like, honestly. But
Well, that is all for this week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we'll be talking about Jennifer Lopez halftime on Netflix. Tig, would you like to listen to some true fan mail?
Yes.
Why did you hold your...
I held my finger up because I was like, I wanted to signal to you, like, just one. Oh, let's just do one.
I thought you were going to say, yes, but first I have something to say.
No. Oh, my God. That was your most intense spit take.
I thought I was going to take a sip of water while you did your speech on whatever it is. Okay. This one is from Eileen. Hey, Eileen.
Hey, Eileen. Hey.
Dear Tig and Cheryl, I have to tell you how much you two crack me up and have been a light with all the heaviness of the last couple of years. I was wondering how many emails you would get about storing the sperm sample in the bra. Like Tig, I had twins at 45, now precious 8-year-old girls. We had a long fertility journey to get there, and during one of our fertility treatments, we experienced the nurse keeping the sample warm in her bra.
No.
She came in and said the warmer, or whatever they used, was not working, and showed us where she had the sample in her bra hanging out under the strap and over the boob. I was pretty horrified, and needless to say, this treatment didn't work. Oh, my God. When I found your podcast, I made it a point to watch My Octopus Teacher before listening. Oh, boy. But I admit, since then, I haven't watched one documentary and just get all the spoilers from you two. I haven't figured out yet where the snorkels term came from, but we'll keep listening and laughing. Thank you all for the entertainment and facts. Oh, my gosh.
I feel... Why doesn't anyone put it under their armpit?
Would you rather somebody take it out from their armpit than their bra?
I feel like it is for sure going to be warm, and it doesn't seem at all sexy.
Weird.
Yeah.
That would be... I would much prefer to have somebody take my sperm sample out of their bra. Then under their arm, where it's like, here you go. By the way, Eileen, what was that moment like when you're in the doctor's office and the nurse just pulls it out from her bra? I can't even imagine that. I can't imagine it, but I guess it happened.
It's one of those moments where I would feel like I was on a prank show.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever felt that way?
Oh, I have felt that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt, okay, now I'm going into a story.
Uh-oh.
Is it too late?
No.
I was like, I am on a prank show. I was going to a press junket.
Uh-huh.
A driver came and picked me up. Stop me if you've heard this. She said it was her first day of driving. Very nice woman. We're stuck on the freeway. And she says, I hate to say this, but I really have to use the restroom. And I said, you know what? It's okay. Like, life isn't perfect. That's fine. So we're on the freeway, and 10 minutes later, she says, I'm so sorry, I really do have to. And I said, that's fine. Like, even if we're for 5 minutes late, it's better than this poor woman. So at some point, she pulls off one of the exits, pulls up to a house, and I'm thinking,
she
must know this person. She opens her door and basically sort of squats and pees And I am in the back seat like, oh, this could not be happening.
I've made it in Hollywood.
And I was like, I was so confused. And also like, okay, stay focused on your press junket. Like, let's let's not derail from what you're here to do. And she gets back in and she says, I'm really sorry about that. I'm really sorry. And I was like, and I honestly, I thought it was being pranked. I was like, okay, it's okay. It's okay. And I'm like, where's the camera? And we drive to
Pasadena. What if the camera was getting the angle of her urinating on the side of the freeway and they forgot to get you?
And we, you know, we pulled up to the hotel and I got out. My publicist was standing there. And she was like, how was the ride over? And I said, it was fine. Because I felt for the driver. I didn't want to get her in trouble or get her fired. Because that's definitely, it can't be in the handbook of
no
driving.
No. But also, what do you do?
I didn't do anything.
No, what does one do when you are the driver that's about to...
Well, go pull. Can you pull into McDonald's or something?
Well, yeah. What if they're in the McDonald's? What if you are in an absolute traffic jam and it is not moving and you are about to go?
Well, I would think... Remember when the lady drove across the country in diapers?
Diaper. Yeah.
Well, I would say if you're listening and you're a driver... Keep an adult diaper in the car?
Yeah, maybe go to your job in a diaper. What is this? Listen, Tig and Cheryl, true story meets Don't Ask Tig?
It is better than pulling up in a residential area and just sort of...
I have a friend who is a very high-ranking executive in the Hollywood town business.
Yeah. Yes.
And he was driving home.
Uh-oh.
And he had to go number two.
Oh, no.
And he was nowhere near any place where there was anything. And he pulled over. And he...
Pooped on the side of the highway?
No.
No. Pooped in the back seat?
No.
What did he do?
He got out of his car and got into someone's bushes.
I don't hate it. I mean, what are you going to do?
I don't know. But I love that you don't hate it.
Well, I mean, at least he went in the bushes. I mean, my driver was
just like...
Right,
but he's in like a suit and tie and he's like crouched in bushes and he's signing multi-million dollar deals in Hollywood.
Listen, desperate times. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, that is it, really. We have nothing else to say.
Do you have anything to promote?
You can watch Flight Attendant. You can watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. You can follow me on Instagram, _Cheryl Hines. How about you?
Well, I'm always on tour. You can go to tignotaro.com for show and ticket information. I also have another podcast called Don't Ask Tig.
Okay.
That Cheryl has been a guest on.
We really went on a roller coaster. I'm sorry. I'm trying to catch my breath.
Oh, specifically, I'll be in San Diego on July 23rd, I think. Something like that. And then I go to other places. Some mountain towns in Colorado. Poughkeepsie. I'll be in Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie.
Honolulu.
All right. Okay. We can see it on a website.
Yes, we can. Cheryl.
Yeah.
Should we do it again?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with production assistance from Bobby Pearson. Music by David Sesson. Special thanks to Gabby Kovacic, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast. That was a HeadGum Podcast.